The following is a production of the Geek.io Media Network. For more geeky goodness, go to geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geek.io for more information.
The following program contains scenes and language of a frank and explicit nature. Viewer discretion is advised.
Get it right, bitch.
Hey, answer this, ball.
Spoiler warning!
Spoilers.
Spoiler warning!
I gotta warn you. You're doomed to stay. Go. Go.
It is Tuesday night, which means we're back on schedule with Small Screen Spoiler Show. Yeah, boy, episode number 8. I'm off the notes, so I don't know how to script this. I am CJ, can you live with it, boat? He's Jared Juan Valdez, bump and dump as a veto. And we're here to spoil you on all the shows that you want to be spoiled on, because you deserve it. And we love you.
So much.
Absolutely.
And I like how you've taken the date out of the intro, because this is just causing issues.
It really was. I was wondering if you were going to catch that.
Oh, I did, because I went to the notes this week and was like, I'm going to fix that before we screw it up again. And then it wasn't there, and I was like, oh, okay, cool, never mind.
Yeah, no. I'm done with that one. We'll do that on the main show. Not here, though, because, well, don't really need to, considering the shows date themselves. So, all right. Speaking of, just as a warning, we're going to spoil stuff. The shows we're spoiling this week are Better Call Saul Season 1, Episode 6, 5-0, which is weird to say altogether, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 2, Episode 12, Who You Really Are. Gotham is on hiatus until April, so these are going to be our two shows for the entire month of March. Aww. And just as a reminder... And just as a reminder, anything prior to and including other series are open game as well. So, Agent Carter, Breaking Bad, all of those are up for discussion. So, if you don't want to be spoiled on these shows, come back later. We won't judge you, because you still deserve to be spoiled.
You always deserve to be spoiled.
Absolutely. So let's go ahead and let our Better Call Saul flag fly. Go ahead and get right into this.
Drop it.
So we got Season 1, Episode 6, 5-0, getting the story of Mike Ehrmantraut.
Yes, also known as The Mike Show.
Yes.
Better Call Mike.
Yeah, with a special guest from Bob Odenkirk.
Yes, no. I actually paused and marked it. It was 15 minutes before he showed up, and he was on screen for, I think, 5 minutes.
At best. At best. And you know what? I think we kind of needed that.
I have no problem with it.
Unlike with Breaking Bad, where you had at least Walt and Jesse to focus on, you only have the one character in this as your primary focal point.
This is true.
So sometimes it's just nice to get away from Jimmy and just break off. I do like how, though, when they had Jimmy in the show, it was like up to 11. Like, he was his ultimate Jimminess.
His usual Jimmy self walked in, dressed like Matlock, ready to do business.
Oh,
which is my other nickname for you.
Oh, dressed like Matlock?
You look like Matlock.
Yeah.
You look like Matlock.
I heard Wanda as a bump and dump, but I could not help you help have that be your title.
Oh, man.
All right, so notes for 5-0.
Well, so, Mike. This is all about Mike.
Oh, Mike.
Where do we begin with Mike?
First of all,
we finally get his backstory.
Give him Emmys. Give him all of the Emmys.
Yep.
Because,
pretty much.
Holy mother of God, he is an actor.
Yep. He is friggin' amazing. Like that last scene alone. Nobody needs to show up. Just give him the Emmy and just let him be done with it.
Yep.
We don't have to even worry about it. Just go ahead and give it to him. It's fine.
Yeah, he completely deserves it.
Goodness. Yes.
But yeah, just point. Seeing him break down like that just was, it was heart crushing.
It was scary. It was sad. It was heartbreaking. It was,
Oh, dear Lord, this episode, man. This is for different reasons than the other episodes, this is one of my favorite episodes so far, easily, hands down. Just because of, because of the tonal shift.
Yeah, it was a definite tonal shift. Like, there is, like, Jimmy came in for his, like, he was back in his comedic relief role like he was on Breaking Bad.
Yes. Which I can't say that he needs to be there for that, but it is nice to see. Like I said, it was a very nice change of pace.
I liked him. And I liked him being, you know, hesitant about helping him helping him do his little Juan Valdez bump and dump.
I like the look on Mike's face when Jimmy's like, I don't think I'm going to do this. This look of, really? This is the line?
Really? This is your line? Really?
Really? Just that look on his face. Like, I know you're going to do it, but really? This is where you're going to try and get in my face? No, let's not even. All right.
So how long before you figured out the whole story? So I figured it out pretty soon.
Yeah, I knew he didn't kill his son because he's way too much of a family.
That part wasn't right.
Yeah, that was not even a thing. I knew, like, they...
But as soon as, like, the cops gave the backstory of, you know, your son was killed, and then all of a sudden these two guys came up. I know exactly what happened.
See, I wasn't sure if it was just legitimately those two that killed him, or maybe it was a gang shooting or something like that. But yeah, I knew that. I knew Mike killed those two. There was no ifs, ands, or buts.
No, I think everybody knows that. They just can't seem to prove it.
Yeah, right?
It's like even after, you know, they walk out of the room, Jimmy's like, okay, so, you know, those guys think you killed those other two guys. He's like, yeah, I know. Okay, as long as we're on the same page. I'm not going to ask you if you did or not. Got my notebook.
Lots of grunting. There was so much grunting in this episode.
So much emotion in one little grunt.
Yeah, right.
So how did you know I was going to do it? Just look. He doesn't even grunt at him for that.
Look like,
of course you were going to do it.
Inaudible grunts.
Never a question.
The grunt was there. It just didn't come out.
Oh, man. So we get the story on his daughter. It's not as estranged daughter, it's as estranged daughter-in-law, and maybe not estranged.
Not yet.
I'm confused about the timing from, like, last episode, because, like, he showed up at her house, and she just kind of stared at him and then drove off, and then the cops showed up, right? And then that's where this next episode picked up, so we're not... Okay.
Well,
so
I think...
She was acting weird around him before he...
Well, remember, she found the money.
The whole story.
She found the money, so at that time, she was probably freaking out at Mike. She found the money, called the cops.
Okay, there it is.
So, he was probably going over to play with his granddaughter or something, and she's just like, no.
Nope.
Though, they had the cutest little girl play his granddaughter, man. Holy crap, adorable.
Yeah, is it the same? I'm like, it can't be the same one, because she'd have to be significantly younger.
Yeah, right? Though they did get a look-alike of her, so that worked.
Right. So, yeah. More notes. So, like, the whole thing of how he did what he did with the two dirty cops that killed his son. Woo! Mm-hmm. Like, I knew he did it, but I didn't know how he did it. And the way that they did it, holy crap.
Yeah, dude, that was badass.
Faked being a drunk, and then break into a cop car and plant a gun in the back seat, Godfather style. Totally play these guys. They're like, holy, Mike is so awesome.
He really is. Yeah, that was just really, really fantastic watching that whole process go through. Just the, and one thing is, like, I didn't realize
as he was walking home, like, I remember, you know, we saw him breaking the cop car, and I'm like, okay, what was that about? And he's walking home drunk. I was like, is he faking it? He's faking it, right? He's got to be faking it. And how did he fake it? He sat at the bar all night drinking.
Very heavily.
Like, pouring in his pocket out of where was it going?
Yeah, just like off to the side, just kind of
pouring it in the plant. I don't know. Right? And then he pulled the gun out of the seat and oh man, there it is. And it all makes sense. And
yes.
Yeah. That's how it went down.
Absolutely. Like a boss. Yep. Straight up like a boss.
Oh, laid it down. I know it was you.
Yeah, I know it was you. I'm gonna prove it.
All right, old man.
I came into an issue with this one where I didn't take any notes on this episode only because I couldn't take my eyes off of it.
Yeah, I had a hard time too. I don't have a ton of notes, and yeah.
I could go on talking about this episode, but like on our way that we normally do things with the note format and kind of discussion points on that, just it's hard to for this because the episode was so well constructed, so well directed, shot for shot. It told the exact story that it wanted to. There was none of the Vince Gilligan X-Files Breaking Bad weirdness. It was a by the book, expertly shot, directed, acted, edited show.
Yes, it was. Yeah, I'd give it perfection. Like, it was just perfect.
It really was.
Everything about it. Like, even, you know, he's telling his story and they're showing you her face, not him talking. Like, she's just hearing this for the first time and reacting to it and like, oh, man.
Reaction shots typically
they
reaction shots
on it.
Are used for because the actor, because they have to do a voiceover on the actor. So typically what will happen in a show, oh, there's my blue ball. How the hell did it get into my coat arm? Put my blue ball back on there. I don't know how it got into my coat arm. I don't understand.
Yeah, when you lose your blue bob.
In your coat arm. In your coat. Reaction shots are typically done. They typically, if you do a dialogue piece like this, you do it to at least two different angles: one on the person and one on the for the reactions. Unless the reactions are genuine, typically you're not going to use that unless you need to overdub the monologuer because of either script changes or anything like that. The shot just didn't pick up sound like you wanted it to. Any of those things. Typically, you don't linger on reaction shots. The way
this
felt
intentional, though.
Oh yes. This is what I'm talking about. Shots and editing were deliberate and perfect and spot on for this because the way that she looked, this looked like a first take, and she didn't know that this monologue was coming.
I could believe that. I wonder if that's what they did.
It wouldn't surprise me. They did it on Breaking Bad. I think it was the Walter's "I'm the one who knocks" speech, because it had a very similar reaction shots on his wife, where it would just linger and have her watch that. And I'm pretty sure I heard that they said that was a first take, blocked that part of the script from hers to get that perfect fear in her face in this case, and this perfect like heart wrenching horribleness that Maddie's wife was feeling.
Maddie wasn't dirty. What's oh man?
Oh dear Lord!
Right.
And just like I said, I it brought a tear to my eye when he broke down like that. I'm just like, this guy who has been nothing but a rock is having his heart break because these skeletons that he's held are finally able to come out.
Got shot making makeshift bandages out of maxi pads.
Maxi pads from the ladies. Like a boss.
Then, you know, just kind of, you know, keeps on walking. It's like, that hurts. And then,
who was that
know,
woman up front? That wasn't Maddie's wife. Was it the woman in the first scene?
Yeah, it was.
Okay. I was watching this in bed last night, so it was kind of I was paying attention to another thing at the very beginning of the episode.
It was her. And, and then going to the dirty vet back room for to get stitched up.
I got a cone for your head, but that would look kind of funny.
Maybe a cone. You have a sling. Like, really? No, I don't have a sling. Like, that's okay. Like, and here's some drugs. Like, no, I don't want that.
You sure? Here's so awesome. Here's one for the road.
A couple for the road. This guy gives him a look. It's like, I know what you're doing. How well do you know this city? Very well. How well? Like, can you take me somewhere to, get something discreetly bandaged and stitched up?
I'm not going to tell you what or why, but yeah.
And somebody who won't ask questions and takes cash only.
Apparently only vets do that in Albuquerque. Oh, and people that are employed by Los Hermanos. Well, he's in Mexico anyway, so the weird surgery tent.
Ah, yes, that's right. I forgot about the surgery tent. The weird surgery tent.
It was a weird surgery tent.
Yeah, you know, Gus's traveling doctor. What do you say? Sorry, I have the black lung.
You're fine.
But yeah,
I have the black overall, knee, so there's that.
The black knee. The black death knee.
Yeah, right. So I have to apologize for anybody who may realize I may not be my normal, like, energetic self. I pretty much destroyed my knee on Sunday, so I'm on painkillers right now. So there's that.
All right, so I think we're just, man, great, amazing performance. What an incredible episode. So well-constructed, written, everything about it was just amazing.
And yeah.
I don't know what to say about it. Like, what happens next?
It was an absolute necessity, though, because that was kind of always that thing with Mike. It was, obviously, this guy has a very rich, deep past, but you never got the chance to explore that. That's why I'm so glad they actually get the chance to do Better Call Saul like this, where, obviously, Mike is a huge deal. And, obviously, after a certain point in Breaking Bad, he can't be. So you can't tell his story in a post-Breaking Bad world.
No. So, yes, I'm so glad to get it. And Mike was always one of my favorite parts of the show, Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
And
so just
getting more.
So do you think his son was the guy that he used to have when he talked to Jesse in the car in Breaking Bad? You know, I used to have a guy. I don't anymore. You aren't the guy. You'll never be the guy.
No, I don't think so. Because his son, you know.
I wonder if it's Nacho. I want to see the Mike Nacho Power Hour.
Buddy cop episode
with Mike and Nacho. That's what I want to see. All right.
Final scene, and I love that he explains why his son isn't dirty. Like, well, what happened to those other two cops? Like, I'm not gonna say that out loud, but you know what happened to those other two cops. You know what happened. Okay, and you live with it. Oh, dang. Oh, man. And then fade to black.
Yep, boom.
Oh, yeah. Boom. Lay it down. Mike. Mike.
Mike, Mike, Mike.
Mike.
All right. Now let's move on to a single-focused episode of, you know, 5-0 to an episode that covered everybody with Season 2, Episode 12 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Who You Really Are.
Yeah. There was a lot going on in this episode.
Hell yeah.
And we open up on a beach, and Lady Sif is there, and we're not really quite sure why.
But she's not in her badass power armor either.
No, she's just dressed normal and set about.
Which is weird.
And she doesn't remember who she is, but the word Thor makes her smile.
Rachel's watching this and she goes, "It makes me smile too."
I do not know this word. When you say it, it makes me smile.
The selective memory loss of the weird Kree weapon.
Yes.
It made me forget things, but only certain things and odd stretches of times, but they don't at the same time.
Stretches of time. I remember everything I learned as a child. The Kree is, I can't remember all the words, like, whatever. You learned that as a child? Yes, doesn't everyone? No.
Son of Cole and...
Son of Cole, yes.
And Agent May were great around forgetful Lady Sif.
Not a lot of laughs that one. Coming from me, that's a lot. Lots of good quippy stuff in this episode.
Yeah, this episode just felt very Whedon.
Yes, and it was, man, did they crank up the comic geekness.
Oh, like, yeah, dude.
We got aliens, we got terminology coming out of everywhere. We got crazy
weapons. They actually, for the first time, dropped the Terrigenist.
The Trungent, the armor, the, like, Kree, dropping Kree like it's nothing.
Oh, yeah. And it was kind of funny. I love watching this show with Rachel because it makes me happy to watch it. And she's like, "All right, explain this. Why are you so damn happy about this?"
Terrigenesis in humans.
Yeah. Poor X-Men. Stupid Fox.
Stupid Fox. Man.
I personally was kind of expecting Quake's power set to be hidden for at least two episodes.
No, we're going to jump right into that. Let's go ahead and get that out in the open.
No dramatic flair here. Just boom. All of a sudden, she's quaking.
One episode, and then now we're shaking the base. How are you doing that? I don't know. Now Cree Man wants to kill you, and Lady Sif wants to capture you and
study you. And oh yeah, I do. One thing I will give Mockingbird: the fact that she's a badass, man.
Yeah, fought with a Cree twice.
Stood up to a Cree twice.
Didn't win, but held her own for a little while at least.
Yeah, right. Two sticks versus an alien freaking warrior.
You know, with super strength and what have you.
Like you do.
Like you do. Cree. They don't die easy. Guardians of the Galaxy taught us that.
Yeah, ask Ronan.
Yeah, well, you could ask Ronan, except for the whole, you know, Infinity Stone to the face thing.
Well, yeah. That'll do you. I am severely... Speaking of Mockingbird, I am severely confused about Mockingbird and,
Max secret Mac. Espionage.
I keep wanting to call him Tank.
That's Matrix.
Yes, I know. Big black guy, you know. Don't die, Jess.
I'm trying not to, sorry. Just don't make me laugh. Except make me laugh.
Say, isn't that kind of my job here?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with them. It doesn't feel like it's truly sinister or anything like that.
Yeah, I think it might just be trust issues things, because both of them were very deep cover for a while, especially Mockingbird.
Yeah.
But why are you against Coulson, though? Like, what has Coulson done to...
I don't know, I think I feel like maybe they don't trust that he was the one that should have been replaced as director or something, and they're maybe trying to overthrow
him. Maybe they're working for
Jay-Z.
Freaking Colby Smulders.
Oh,
Maria Hill. There we go. Maybe they're working for Maria Hill.
Maybe. Or maybe they're working for Nick Fury. Who knows?
Yeah,
who knows?
It might be. But it's very clear and obvious that they are not Hydra.
No, they're definitely not Hydra.
Because I
look
like, wait, are they Hydra?
I feel like their intentions are good, but not great.
No.
Their intentions are good, but I'm not sure what their intentions are. And yep. They're probably not right.
And definitely don't want Australian Paul Walker to get in on things, man.
Man.
Straight
choked
up.
Yeah,
choked a bitch.
No, they didn't kill him. Which, again, shows that I don't think they're bad guys. I just think they have some...
Yeah, because if they were Hydra, dump, right in the chest.
They just dropped him. They just dropped him. And where'd he go? I don't know.
Yeah, he left.
Couldn't handle it.
You know,
couldn't
mercenaries.
Yeah.
I do like how he became a fan favorite enough to make him a series regular, which works.
Yep. And
still no Lucy Lawless back, by the way.
Mockingbird too. Maybe she's who they're working for.
Maybe.
Who knows?
Mockingbird's in love is another note I have.
Well, they were, I guess, in love before, but apparently she dreamt him because of something similar. That's what I'm gathering. Some kind of other thing where she, like, pushed him away to protect him.
Maybe her, ran into Hydra as a cover.
Mayhaps.
I don't like the Fitzsimmons fallout because I am a huge Fitzsimmons fan. But...
I know. That's a new note I have here. I do not like New Simmons. Like, she used to be one of my favorites, and now I don't really like her anymore.
Yeah, she's, like, they just did this weird
around.
Thing with her. Like, I don't know why all of a sudden they were her to be a bitch. Like...
You know, her boyfriend kind of got exploded. Well,
yeah.
Turned stumbled. So, there's that. She's dealing with that. So I get, you know, what their motivations of where her character is going is, you know, she's reacting to this terrible tragedy that she just had. And she was probably closer to Trip than any of the other members of the team. But
now that I look back on the first half of the season, by the way, I'm like, oh yeah, he was gonna die. Like he was everybody's best friend, man. I should have realized that closer to the beginning of the season. Oh yeah, he gonna die.
Poor Trip.
Let's see. What about you? What other notes you got?
Yeah, we got a Terra Genesis talk, so we got a good, nice explanation. Brought a Kree in, had him explain everything.
Why am I not blue?
Yes, that was fun. Because you're in disguise from the people who are pursuing you. Oh, yes.
It sounded like Rachel. Oh, a note from Rachel. Why does the Kree act like Drax?
I don't know. Are our Kree similar personality as Drax's race or whatever? Maybe.
I don't even know what race Drax is in this version, so I can't explain that. In the comics, Drax is a modified human. Not inhuman, but he got blasted, I think, by... I think it might be Kree technology. And so he became the Destroyer that way. So I don't know what race he is in this one. He is clearly not human, though, because his reflexes are too fast and he would catch a human.
And I want to watch Guardians of the Galaxy again.
You still have to watch Bay Hero 6, or Big Hero 6.
Oh, I do. Yes. More on that later. Because I don't know if you've read down farther in the notes yet or not. All the Diviners are gone.
Yep. Dun, dun, dun. All of the Inhumans.
So I guess this is all the Inhumans we're getting, unless there's another cache of Diviners somewhere else.
I can guarantee it. Probably in New Attilan, where the Inhumans are based. I'm sure there's a bunch of Diviners in there.
Just a big old crap load of Diviners.
More Diviners than you can stick it, shake a stick at.
What was that? More Diviners than you can shake a stick at?
Yes, that you could stick a shake at.
More Diviners than you can shake a stick at. There we go.
Yay, painkillers. I have a hard time talking anyway, much less.
Yay, pain meds. Woo!
Thursday when I'm going to try and amp myself up. Oh, this is going to be great.
Last week, all right. Mockingbird beat the Kree in the second fight. I forgot about that.
Yeah, she did. She
knocked him down and then turned the truncheon on him.
Yep, which was great. Just lifts up his arm, boink.
He puts his hand on it and then pokes himself in the chest.
It was almost comedic, like, he's just like, or cartoony, just boink.
Boop. There's a little dial here, but it's being driven by DNA.
Also, convenient super speed from the Kree. Only happened once. You know, he could have completely demolished everybody. Nope. Because I must only use my super speed when I need to get my pokey hammer back.
You know, doing some kicking and flipping and cool stuff.
Indeed.
But he was a well-intentioned Kree, from what I gather.
Yeah, he was a good guy. See, Ronan is a renegade. You have to remember that. Ronan is a radical. So,
the Kree didn't seem too interested in stopping him.
Well, it's because from what I understand of the lore and of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, basically the Kree were coerced into signing the treaty, probably because of Skrulls on the other side of them. Because there's a big deal about the Kree-Skrull War in the comics, and I would imagine that it's you need to team up with the Xandarians and against the upcoming Kree forces.
Oh well, I'm sure we'll get all kinds of good stuff like that.
Yes.
Phase 3. So.
Though good hold on guy to your fits, man. Good guy fits, seriously.
Oh, yeah. Fitz is...
I liked him. I liked him a lot.
Had a harder time with him the first half of the season because they, like... I don't know. I guess because it just made me sad seeing him weak or whatever, but he's, like, coming around and mastering himself, and he's awesome, dude. He's not afraid to call Simmons out on her crap.
Yeah, right?
Like, you were talking about that I've been going out and annihilating. It's like, no, Sky, she's my friend. He's going to give her a look like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, it doesn't work like that.
I wouldn't have been fine. Shut up. Yes, you would have been just as crazy as you are now, so just shut up.
Yeah, right. May changed her story real quick when she found out Sky was infected, quote-unquote infected. She went from, these people would be dangerous, to, holy crap, I have to protect this one. Maybe they're not so bad.
Maybe they're not all so bad. Except for Thorny Lady.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Well, she might not even be terrible after getting to New Attilan.
Yeah. It depends on if she's at the good Inhumans or the bad Inhumans.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But
obviously there are good and bad Inhumans.
Yes, because I may have watched the sneak peek thing. But anyway... Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
I know we're not supposed to talk about that, but hey, come on, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
All right, what other note you got? I'm out of mine.
I'm pretty much done. All the other note I have is, I know keys, which was part of the Sith stuff.
Yeah,
they were like going back and forth. It's like, you know that word? No, that's a Midgard. Midgard?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Hey, that's a Midgard thing. We don't know about that, Aaron. Oh, it's like, well, this means keys. Yeah, we know what keys are.
It is a device that. Yes, we know what keys.
Yeah, we know. We know keys. We got that.
Coulson actually kind of took a back burner on this episode. He was present in most of the shots, but he took a back burner.
That's going to happen with this show. I don't have a problem with that. It's an ensemble show. Everybody's got to rotate.
Technically,
through the
Sky is your main point of view character in the show, so.
Yeah. I'm just liking her more.
She's coming around since the second season.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it is she's no longer damsel in distress, and I hate the damsel in distress trope. I hate it so bad. So now that she's actually going to be able to get some powers and kick some butt, I think she'll actually be a mostly tolerable character. Because you notice when she started becoming her own character, and other than just, you know, lovesick puppy hacker after Ward, that's when she actually started becoming less and less horrible.
Less and less.
Yes, she's getting there. So, all right, that's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., who you really are. So, challenge shows, neither one of us watched anything.
Yeah, so Saturday night, instead of watching Arrow, I watched How to Train Your Dragon 2. And I don't regret that choice at all.
No.
And then I tried to watch it today, and technology failed me, so.
Huzzah.
I'm sorry, but the next episode is something about a Christmas party, and it doesn't sound like a good episode anyway.
Yeah, you are at the worst part of season one, really the worst part of the series.
Yeah, so I've got a few episodes to push through anyway.
Act two, season one is really, really bad.
Yeah, I saw something about the Dark Archer showing up, so maybe that'll improve things. I don't know.
Yeah, once the Dark Archer shows up and actually starts doing his thing, and Ollie actually has to fight and do things other than just swoon over women, then it actually gets back into where it's supposed to be. Because once the Dark Archer shows up, the entire third act starts to come into play.
Okay, so I only got a couple episodes that I have to suffer through.
It was worse week to week, and like I said, I stopped watching it season one about this time and just binge-watched after the season was over, so.
I'm trying.
I think it might have actually been the Huntress episodes that I'm just like, you know what, I'm done. I can't deal with this. I'm out.
Oh, the Huntress episodes. There were parts of it that I wanted to like, and then it just, ugh. She was just so awful. She was the worst. Gosh. Anyway,
I haven't watched Sherlock this time. Yeah, I think you just need to kind of put your head through and weather the storm on this one.
I know. Like I said, I intended to watch it today, but technology failed me. And
no worries.
Netflix
wouldn't
work, and play later. Somebody turned off the computer in the middle of it recording the episode. So, oops.
I blame Microsoft.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, I just haven't really had too much time to watch Sherlock. That and I finished all of season one, so I'm just kind of like, I'm watching
a lot of Sherlock to take in at once.
I'm watching a lot of Lost Girl and Once Upon a Time right now. I'm actually going back and rewatching some of the older stuff of Once Upon a Time, and just kind of that's another one of those shows. Like halfway through season one, I'm like, why did I continue watching this? And like then I remember, I'm like, oh yeah, it's so good now. But man, this was rough.
Oh well.
That's one of those shows I really recommend. Once Upon a Time, I really recommend.
That I would like to watch. It's just, you know.
But it's definitely a binge. I think you and Katie could get into it. Like, I think Katie would actually really like it.
She might. Like, I can try. We still got to finish Angel and Buffy and Xena.
Nothing wrong with Xena.
No. Nothing wrong with Xena.
Nothing wrong with Xena.
There are parts of Xena that are.
I'd rather you get caught up on Flash and Arrow first, though, because.
Oh, I know. Those are the shows I watch with her. So, yeah. Flash and Arrow are shows she doesn't care about at all. So, those three shows are the ones I'm watching with her, which is why it's taking a really long time. Cause
fair.
We never watched much TV.
Fair.
Which is not a bad thing. We'll get there.
Yeah. All right. So, I think on that note, we're going to actually go ahead and wrap up.
I don't know, shortest show ever.
About 45 minutes, not too bad, not too shabby.
Is that a little extra time to talk about how awesome Mike is?
Yes, exactly.
And how awesome Jonathan Banks is.
Yes, Emmys. Shower him with Emmys. Give him the golden Emmy shower.
Ew.
All right,
oh,
on that
my
note.
Boy.
I broke my boy. And just tears. Oh, man. All right. Man, oh, if you want to contact the show, head over to email us at geekiofshow@gmail.com. This is rough. we are Geek.io Show on Twitter and Facebook, and our website is geek-io.net/spoilershow. I should probably actually add that so I'm not just kind of spitballing it every week. And you can always support the network. This show is entirely sponsored by Patreon, patreon.com/geek.io. Not going to have any sponsors for this show unless we start getting a lot of costs. I'm not going to have anything other than Patreon supporters, so head over to patreon.com and support the network.
Yeah, boy!
Titles going up for this... up for grabs is Inaudible Grunting, The Mike Show, Surgery Tent, The Mike and Nacho Power Hour, which is probably going to be it, not going to lie, Infinity Stone to the Face, More Draw Viners Than a... I can't even say my mess up right.
More Draw Viners Than Shake a Stick At.
Yeah. All right, no, folks, on that note, we're going to go ahead and head on out of here. Anything else before we head out?
No. Jonathan Banks is awesome, and he should win an Emmy. Did we say that yet? we said that, right?
No, I don't think we have. Emmys.
Okay, well, just make sure.
Yeah, give
also,
him.
Also, Creed.
Yeah, Creed Drax. Weird Creed Drax. The button still isn't working, so hold on. I got this.
You can do it. You can do it. Push it.
I got it. Where's my button? Where's
push
my thing?
Push it real good.
Good enough. This one's fine.
Geek.io, copyright 2015.
Close enough. Bye.